You know, Christmas time, more than any other time of year, is it's a season full of traditions, isn't it? One of the biggest traditions of our modern-day Christmas season is the tradition of telling stories. You know, usually heartwarming stories full of homey sentiments that make us feel good. Somehow the tradition of storytelling has become really embedded in the season. Now, going back almost 200 years ago in 1822, Clement Moore wrote the famous Christmas classic, "'Twas a Night Before Christmas." You know how it goes. "'Twas the night before Christmas, went all through the house. Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, and hopes that St. Nicholas soon be there." That story's been told and retold ever since 1822. It's a classic. Have you heard the modern-day version? The 2017 version goes like this. "'Twas a week before Christmas, and it began to start. Everyone was scrambling and rushing to Walmart. Their credit cards in hand, accounts in the red, and hopes their rich uncle soon would be dead." That's the not-so-classic version. Another Christmas classic was written in 1843 by Dickens. And he wrote a famous story we all know called A Christmas Carol, right? The story about Scrooge. Probably one of the most famous fictional characters ever in English literature. And since then, over the last 150 years or so, just oodles and oodles of Christmas stories have poured out every year at Christmas time. Everything from novels to songs to movies and cartoons. The tradition of storytelling has given us The Little Drummer Boy, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Frosty the Snowman, and A Charlie Brown Christmas. Now, that's just to name a few. I suppose storytelling has become a Christmas tradition because Christmas originated as an amazing story. The first Christmas was filled with scandal and adversity, danger, mystery, hope, and triumph. And so this Christmas Eve, I want to share with you the amazing true story of Christmas from John chapter 1. Now, as you may know, John's gospel account of the Christmas story is quite different from the story told in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. It's not different in a way that it contradicts the other gospel stories, but it's different in a way that it complements them by looking at the event of Christmas from a very different perspective, a perspective that is broader than just the events surrounding the night of Jesus' birth. In John's account, there is no baby in a manger, no wise men, no shepherds, and there's no singing angels. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, that sounds like a really boring Christmas story. A Christmas story with no baby or wise men or shepherds and no singing angels. But actually, when you look at the Christmas story from John's account, it's actually quite amazing. And I hope that you'll see it for what it is. So we want to look at the amazing true story of Christmas from John's account, chapter 1, starting in verse 1. He says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." And dropping down to verse 14, it says, "So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." When we read John's gospel, we get the story behind the story, the backdrop to the manger scene. The story of the baby in the manger happened about 2,000 years ago in the town of Bethlehem. But the beginning of the story actually goes back much further, back beyond the miraculous conception, back beyond ancient times, back beyond the formation of the earth, back beyond the creation of the heavens. In fact, it reaches back beyond the existence of time itself. That's when the amazing true story of Christmas begins. Well, at least we call it the beginning because we don't know what else to call it. Normally, every story has a beginning. But John tells us, in the beginning, the Word already existed. How can someone or something exist before the beginning? What's so amazing about the story of Christmas is that every story has a beginning except for this one. The main character in the story is Jesus, of course. But in John's story, Jesus isn't referred to as the baby in the manger. Here John refers to him as the Word, and then identifies the Word as Jesus further down in the text. And John starts his gospel account with the words, in the beginning. The exact same words as the book of Genesis. When John refers to the beginning, he's referring to the same beginning as Genesis chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And it's a clear reference to the beginning of creation, not the beginning of the Word, because John said, in the beginning, the Word already existed. And the words, Jesus existed before the beginning. He is eternal. Before there was the Virgin Mary, there was the Word. Before there was Abraham, before there was Adam, before there was breath or belief, there was the Word. Before there was water and sky, before there was light or darkness, before there were matter and energy, before there was time or space, there was the Word. Before there were archangels or cherubim or seraphim, there was the Word. Before there were thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world, there was the Word. He existed before anything was created. John tells us, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The amazing true story of Christmas is that before anything was created, there was only and always God. This God was and is infinite in being and perfection, a most pure spirit, almighty, most wise, most holy, eternal, immutable, immense, incomprehensible, infallible, independent, and not in need of any creatures, but infinite in being and perfection. And every story has a beginning except for his, because in the beginning the Son already existed. He was with God and he was God. And just as we say that his story has no beginning, we can also say that his story has no end. The angel Gabriel came to Mary. Luke chapter 1, he said to her, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end. You know, when you watch a movie, there's a moment at the beginning when they show the title of the movie, and you know that you're at the beginning of the show or the movie. And then at the end, you know the movie's over when they roll the credits. But in God's story, there's no beginning, and the credits never roll. From his story is from everlasting to everlasting, because he existed before creation, and his kingdom will never end. And so the true story of Christmas is without beginning or end. Now, I think that's amazing. Another thing that makes the true story of Christmas an amazing story is that this story makes the invisible visible. You know, night vision goggles are a pretty amazing invention. They make it possible for the human eye to see what's in the dark. They make the invisible visible. And John tells us that Jesus is like a pair of night vision goggles because he helps us see what we couldn't see without him. He reveals to us the nature and the essence of God. Now, sin causes people to live in spiritual darkness, and that darkness has hidden God from us. But John tells us in his account of the story that the Word gave life to everything and was created, that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Jesus shone the light on who God is and what he is like. The story of Christmas is an amazing true story of God making himself visible to us. John 1 verse 18 says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son is himself God and is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. In other words, Jesus has made the invisible visible. In fact, in Colossians 1:15, it says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. That's because Jesus is not just a symbol of God, but he is God himself. Now, the word image here in the original Greek text is icon. And it's also where we get the word English word icon from. The New Testament refers to a likeness or a manifestation or a replica, something that is living and real. For example, passports back in those days, in ancient times, had a section called an acon, a place where they recorded any distinguishing marks of the person, which describes something about that person that set him apart from everyone else, like a birthmark or a scar or some other feature. Today, the acon in our passport is our photograph. Perhaps an even better example of that would be an ultrasound. These days, if a woman is pregnant, the doctor wants to make sure that the baby is healthy, and so he sends her for an ultrasound. The ultrasound gives a real-time image of the baby so you can even watch the baby moving and see its heartbeat. That's an icon or an acon, an image of something real. And Jesus is the living, visible image of the invisible God. When you look at Jesus, you are looking at God because he is God himself. He both represents and manifests God to the world. Furthermore, Colossians 2:9 tells us, "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body." Sometimes I hear people say, "Well, if God is real, then why doesn't he reveal himself to us?" Well, the answer to that is that he has, and his name is Jesus Christ. John 1, verse 14 says, "So the Word became human and made his home among us." In Jesus, God became visible to us. John's account of Christmas focuses on the mystery of the incarnation. And we hear that word incarnation when we sing some of our traditional Christmas carols. And the word simply means in the flesh. It means that Jesus is God with skin on. It means that Jesus is both fully human and fully God. How is it possible? How is that possible? It's a mystery to us. However, we call it a mystery, not because it's hidden from us, but because it's revealed to us, and yet it's very difficult for our minds to comprehend it. Now, a person can drive themselves crazy trying to figure all out this whole idea of the Trinity and incarnation. But in the end, the incarnation is not for analysis, it is for worship. For us to lift up our hearts and voices in praise to a God who loves us so much that he came to live among us. Jesus is God with skin on. He is fully God and fully human. When Jesus became God in the flesh, he made what was invisible visible. He revealed to us the nature and essence of God. And so the amazing true story of Christmas shines light into the spiritual darkness and makes the invisible visible. Now, another reason the true story of Christmas is so amazing is because it's a story about the greatest transformation ever. Again, in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. We have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." I like how the Message translates it. It says, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. When Jesus moved, it was a big move. He moved from heaven to earth. He moved from eternity to time. He moved from spirit to spirit and flesh. He moved from deity to deity and humanity. The Word became flesh and blood. Just try to think about it. The Heavenly Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, co-eternal, co-existent, co-equal, come to this indescribable decision that the Word would become flesh. The second person of the Trinity would come to earth, fully man and fully God, two complete natures in one person and one body. It's a profound mystery. God became a human. He got up every morning and ate breakfast. He woke up with bedhead. He burped. He had body odor, maybe even snored. He is God, but he's also human. And from that moment when Jesus was conceived and married by the Holy Spirit, he became fully human. Never again, for all of eternity forward, will he ever be deity only and not human. Forever and ever, Christ is not only our God, but also our brother. The amazing true story of Christmas is a story about the greatest transformation ever. The Word became flesh and blood, moved into the neighborhood. Jesus became one of us. When we think of this transformation, we might think of it as a step backward, of Jesus somehow becoming less than what he was before he dressed himself in human flesh. But remember that he's no less God now than he was before the incarnation. He is still fully God. Instead of thinking of it as a step backward, we should perhaps understand it as an extension. Jesus didn't become less by becoming human, but instead he extended himself. It's like God was bending down to us in a similar way as an adult bends down to a child in order to be on their level. And by bending down, he demonstrates that he values us. And it can be said that in his incarnation, Jesus raised the dignity of every human being, of every human life. Whether it's the baby in the mother's womb, or the beggar in the streets of Calcutta, or the incarcerated, or the elderly, or the disabled, or those considered the least among us by human standards. Christ has given dignity to each one of us. Each one of us was created in God's image and loved so much by God that Christ took on our very nature that he might identify with us. The book of Genesis tells us that God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And then John tells us in his gospel that the Word became human, and he made his home among us. And by doing so, Jesus raised the dignity of every human life. In fact, he took on our human nature in order to glorify it so it could be made fit for heaven. He made a way in which human nature could be redeemed and formed into divine likeness. And John tells us in verses 12 and 13, "But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God." You see, Jesus became like us so that we could become like him. Just think, we were created in his image. Then he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary, and he took on our nature forever forward, so that when he returns, he will transform us into his likeness for all of eternity. Now, you have to admit, that is an amazing story. And here's the most amazing thing about it. It's not only God's story, it's your story too. Because to those who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Perhaps that's the most amazing thing of all, that Jesus came for us. When we put our faith in him, his story also becomes our story. If you haven't already done so, I encourage you on this night to put your faith in Christ, in the incarnate deity. And invite the worship team to come. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again. As we think of the awesome story of Christmas, this mystery, this miracle, that you loved us so much that even though we were created in your image, you came to take on our nature, that you are incarnate. You are both fully God and fully human. You came to die for our sins, to take our place as our substitute. And you came to prepare us for heaven, that we could be transformed into your likeness. Lord God, we thank you. Father, we don't understand how all these things work. Father, we give you praise for the wonderful gift of the true story of Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite